FM. All right, come at the time, come at the moment. At what, 27 minutes to 7 o'clock, right here on your best mix of music, 9.4 Capital FM. Good evening, how are you doing? Where are you listening from? Let me know. This happens every Thursday. It's The Legal Insider with myself, Charles Carey, where we try as much as possible with my wakili, Mutoa Mutuku, not to go legalese. Mutua, how are you, my brother? Welcome.
I'm Isaac. How are you, my guy?
Very good, sir.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. My Sunday was horrible because you let me down. You owe me something. Like, you're stronger off mic. Yeah. But good to see you, brother. How was your week?
It was a very polite polite weekend.
Okay.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Uh-huh.
Sports field, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Nothing much out of the ordinary. Of course, I let you down, but we're going to have a conversation about that.
Yes, yes.
I had fun. I also had
M-Pesa is here.
Yeah. I also had my boys. I had a small meetups with my boys. Okay, there's something that we are doing. Uh-huh. At some point, it's going to go out.
Okay,
but we had fun. Oh, it was a chilled out weekend. Very rainy. The weather was. It was a British weather.
British weather.
Yes, but. It's been amazing.
Yes, it's amazing. Absolutely. Same with me. Every Thursday, the number 0701984984, your questions, hashtag Legal Insider, hashtag Quick One, Wakili. And of course, today, as always, every Thursday, we have visitors. And in studio with us, we have two visitors. I'd like them to introduce themselves and tell us who they are, which law firms they represent, how many years they've been in the legal system. I'm just saying, but welcome, gentlemen. We start on my left, sir. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Charles.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Paul Wafula.
Mm-hmm.
I am from the firm of Walker Contos Advocates.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in the legal profession for about 10 or so years.
Okay.
7 years in active practice,
mm-hmm.
3 years, doing pupillage and internship.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Fantastic.
Thank you very much, Charles.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Bob Otieno.
Mm-hmm.
Currently work for the firm of Murgur and Murgur Advocates.
Hey! When you hear that name, Murgur, Murgur, like, okay. Yeah. Are you still at Lundro House, I think?
Yes, but currently we are at EcoBank Towers.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I've been practicing law officially since 21st March 2017?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 7 years in practice now, this much. Officially, before I even started practicing, it's something I loved, I was passionate about. So I started attending law firms when I was still in campus. Okay. So just like him, it's been about 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
But officially, it's 7 years.
All right, fantastic. Gentlemen, welcome. And today we have a topic and we want to get into it. And we want to talk litigation. Mutua.
Yeah, my guy.
Take over, my brother.
No. It's not my show today.
I know it's for fullers.
I'm just a facilitator for today.
Yes.
So, let's start with Wafula. When a normal Kenyan hears litigation, in your experience, what is litigation?
Well, taking it up from layman's perspective, everybody thinks that litigation is criminal law, where you have a judge, a prosecutor, and an accused person.
Mm-hmm.
But contrary to that, litigation is quite wide. I mean, not so many people know that there exists even a civil litigation arm of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Because the general mwananchi's exposure to litigation is... court cases involving criminals or criminal litigation. It's very hard for a mwananchi to actually be involved in civil litigation, not unless they are, a bit personal and something like that, yes.
Okay. Bob?
Yes, I'll put it very simply. When you talk about litigation, it basically means using the court system to settle disputes.
Okay.
And disputes are very wide-ranging.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I have your debt, I have refused to pay it. We've tried talking, nothing is coming out of that, and then you move to court to want to get paid your debt. And when you look at our court system, normally we have different divisions for different disputes.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find, for instance, when it is a contract, there's a court you go to. When it is a land issue, there's a court that you get into.
Just to interject so that we don't lose the point.
Yes.
You can as you're doing the classification, you can just probably mention, for example, if it's a commercial matter, you can just break it down in those. Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about a commercial matter, we are talking money matters and we are talking company matters mostly. So when you go to the High Court, we have a commercial division, which basically deals with commercial matters. For instance, you have a loan with a bank. You're not servicing that loan, and the bank needs you to pay. Or you're saying, I have paid this loan, and these guys want to auction my property. You end up at the commercial division. Today, Charles, when I...
This is interesting because I didn't know that. I mean, it is not top of mind that I can actually go to the court's division... Commercial peke yake.
Yes. That's why we're here, Charlie.
Oh, my goodness. This is so cool. Yeah. I thought it's just across the board. Just in here. Who's that? That's Mutua. Mutua. Can we talk? That's anybody.
And when you defame me today, like when you besmirch my name, I don't go to the commercial division. There is a civil division for that where you take defamation suits. Now, if you have a land issue, an interest in land that you want protected, you end up at the environment and land court.
Wow.
So those divisions are really important, because when you go to the wrong court, then you shall have wasted time, you shall have wasted money and resources. So it's important to know what dispute are you dealing with, then which division do I end up in. And just something also important, we look at the value of your case, because these cases are assigned values. So like when you talk about a dispute which is 20 million and above, you end up in the High Court. Below that, you go to the subordinate court.
Subordinate court.
Subordinate court, which is a lower court.
Let me write it down. I'm in school.
Yeah.
And then we have now this court, which I think most of us are familiar with, the small claims court. Basically, it deals with disputes which are a million shillings and below.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that is enough for introduction.
So, Wafula.
Yes.
I just want us to pick the conversation from where Bob has left it. He talked about this creature called the small claims court.
Yes,
there's been a lot of conversations around it. The whole point where we had small claims is to decongest the court system. Is it working effectively to that level, in your experience?
Well, from my standpoint, I think it has saved a lot. Because disputes there normally take about 60 days to be determined. So in terms of the turnaround time, I would say that disputes are, you know, being processed out of the system very quickly. However, there's a catch.
Those are the ones we want.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. You find that even after, you know, finalizing the case, exiting the system is quite difficult. We are talking about extracting the court order that was given to you so that you can enforce it.
No, English.
Sorry. getting the fruits of what the court gave you.
Okay.
Yes. Getting it or finding that particular order that the court gave you so that you can maybe, if it's a debt, you can claim it from the other party. If it's an injunction, getting it from the other party is quite difficult.
It is.
And that has put a lot of hurdles getting out of the system. So from my perspective, I think getting in and processing the claim is very fast, because once you file the case, the system automatically gives you, you know, lists your matter in the system. So you have a very quick turnaround in terms of getting in, appearing before the judge or the magistrate or the adjudicator will hear your case very within those timelines and give you your judgment at the end of it all within the timeline. However, getting out is the problem, as I have said.
So when you say getting out, is okay, fine, there's the judgment. Mutua is supposed to pay me my 15 million shillings,
yes,
or let's say 150,000 shillings. Now it's now going to Mutua and telling him, now the judgment is here.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
First of all,
okay,
just getting that particular judgment in writing, because actually by the time you want to go to Mutua to ask him to pay you, you must present him with that judgment. It's called something, it's something called a decree.
Yes.
So the court will give you a judgment, say, I found in your favor, I have found for you for this amount, for this and this amount. However, you're supposed to get that particular amount and go to Mutua and tell him, look, the court has said you pay me this much, please do so. And that is where we have a challenge.
Okay, that's why now. Okay, I understand.
Now you get it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Extracting the final, that thing has been a pain.
So the small claims court, as you're saying, Bob.
Yes.
Processing vitu haraka haraka. Okay, fine. This is your judgment. Now, take the decree, as you said, to so and so, to Wafula.
Yes.
Now that's where another story begins altogether.
It's very true. You'd be surprised that, just like he says, getting in is easy. It's quick to process your claim through the small claims court. Now, when it comes, let me use the word realizing your judgment, realizing the fruit of your judgment. You have your judgment. The judge says so-and-so should pay you 100,000 shillings. Now, first of all, just getting that formal expression, that is what we call the order. That particular order is a problem because this is purely administrative. Whoever is supposed to sign maybe is not there. Just administrative challenges and all that. So it could take a bit more time. And once you get that, you know, people assume that once you have a judgment in your favor, then automatically you get paid. It doesn't happen like that. And normally when people come to us for a matter, we have to prepare you. Yeah. We tell you, for instance, you will get your judgment, but how do you get to realize that judgment? It's a very important conversation to have because most of the times people just refuse to pay. So what do? You have to go through the process of, we call it execution. And when you talk about execution, it's just getting to realize that judgment by attaching maybe a property, by committing them to jail until such a time that they pay and all that. And it's not easy because sometimes you don't even know where this guy stays. So forget about even getting the order itself.
Wow. You've taken me very far.
Yeah.
So I remember.
So this is exactly what is happening right now.
It happens. Let me give you a live story.
Please. This is but let's marinate on that one with that live story. Okay. Well, let's take a short break. Okay.
Thank you.
As we marinate on that one, but this is interesting. Thank you so much, Mutua, for bringing this wonderful gentleman. All right, write to us. Tell us exactly what you think, what you feel, what have you gone through with litigation. Matters, as Wafula says, getting in, getting all these things very quickly. By the time you look for Mutua, yeah. Okay, 0701984984 # Legal Insider # Quick One. Wakili will be back in a moment. All right, it's 12:07 right here on Capital FM. Good evening. How are you doing? As you exactly where you're listening from? What is that matter that you'd like Wakili here to clear for you? 0701984984 # Quick One Wakili, # The Legal Insider. Gentlemen, welcome once again.
Asante sana.
Yeah, and Bob, you are getting into something. Yeah.
Yes, I was talking about how difficult it is to realize the fruits of your judgment.
Yes.
And I remember this friend who had a very simple matter, a debt for 50,000. So he ends up at the small claims court, files the matter. The other guy doesn't even bother to defend himself. So in about a month or so, he gets his judgment. Now, I tell him I have the judgment here. And now, where do we get your friend to pay? So he gives me the guy's number.
Uh-huh.
And I send the order, the decree, the decree, which is the summary of the judgment. He looks at it, doesn't respond, but I realize he blocks me. I'm blocked. So I go back to him and I tell him, your guy has blocked me.
Yeah.
But anyway, he basically is telling you he's not going to pay and he doesn't care about paying you. So he asks me, what do you do? The next step, of course, is to engage an auctioneer. But auctioneers work with information because the auctioneer will ask you, this guy, where does he stay at? What does he have? What can we attach? Where can we find him? So we got an auctioneer, we got the warrants. Normally there are those warrants of attachment, like you have to go back to court and tell court, this guy has refused to pay, but I want to attach his property, I sell so that I get my money. And you know, you have to trace that property, you have to know which property is in his name, a car, house items, and all those things. So the auctioneer gets the warrants of attachment. And he tells me, now I have the warrants, so what do we do? Are we able to get this guy? So I give him the number. The guy doesn't pick, of course. Up to date, we are still trying to trace that guy 1 year down the line. So that happens. So the most difficult part is not the litigation part.
Correct.
Sometimes going to court and getting a court order. The most difficult part is what we call execution, realizing the fruits of that judgment.
Oh, okay. Yes. Because I remember one time I was having a conversation with Nick Ndere just before Mutua, you checked in, and you're saying by the time you're in a situation like that, you find out about this guy long before, where he stays, where he works, where his family, his friends and everything. So when it comes to stories of now, I'm going to attach these things. Mm. Yeah, so I don't have to bring goons. because guys, they'll bring goons by force, you know.
Yeah, that's very important.
Have you had a situation like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, that what you've just mentioned is very important. Mm-hmm. Currently, when I'm taking up a matter, especially these money matters, debt matters, correct, the first thing I'll tell you is, do you know whether this guy owns a property? Because you can end up with what we call a paper judgment. Uh-huh. So you have your judgment, but there's nothing you can do with it because simply the guy is not paying. The other bit is to have him committed to civil jail. And you know, the downside of civil jail, you have to pay for his upkeep over there.
You have to pay.
Wait.
Mutu has my money. Mutu and Mugizendela, I have to pay for his upkeep.
Yeah,
but he has my money.
Yep. Yes.
No, I'm not keeping it. Upkeep me, Mutu. Why is that, Wafula? Why do I have to do committing to jail and I have to take care of him at the same time? And he owes me.
I mean, it's how the legal system is set up. Generally, jail is supposed to take care of criminals convicts. People who have gone through the criminal system have been adjudged to have committed offenses. And so it is the burden of the government to feed those people, you know, to provide services in the jail system. So when you try to utilize that system, there's a fee, you know, just like any other service that is provided for by the government, there's a fee. And that is why upfront you're required to actually pay the sustenance. And they actually take it up front.
Well, guys, so you're looking at...
Bob has... It's been a year. Bob, he needs his 50,000 shillings.
Yeah.
He probably knows where the guy is.
Yeah.
And now he's like, should I commit him? But then you see, he owes my money. He has my money, but they have to put him in and then feed him at the same time. That guy will be there like forever, like at this hour.
Not really. Let me tell you something.
Yeah, what happens? Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Because I normally speak to these court bailiffs. It actually works. He told me that 95% of the people who are committed to civil jail end up paying. They end up saying, can we enter into a payment plan? So it actually works, by the way, because that disrupts your life. You can't go to work. You can't do a thing, and that's the last thing you want. Mm. So basically, it works, by the way.
Absolutely, and I can confirm that.
Yes, we're full of it.
Because, you know, most of us are from an African culture, and so when somebody's in jail, the whole family will try and ask, how can we help?
Okay.
And so you find that when they know that probably Mutua owed you 10,000, and he has not paid you and you've been put in civil jail, your auntie will send you 2,000, 3,000, and at the end of it all, you get probably 5,000, and when you get that 5,000, you are able to tell, the court, release him as he looks for the rest of the money. So it has a deterrent effect and actually has a positive effect.
Well said. Yeah.
Just to build up on that, why is it that Kenyans are very afraid of... the judicial system, whether it's the criminal way or the civil way, why are we so afraid of when someone comes and tells you, I'm going to take you to court? It's helter-skelter.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it has a history. It goes back to the history of the courts in Kenya. They were predominantly used to quell, you know, political tensions, to quell dissidents and everything. But for lack of information, I would say, that's why most people are very afraid of the court system. You will be surprised that most judges are very friendly. Even if you appear as a person, they'll speak to you in Swahili or even in your mother tongue, if at all the judge can, relate to the mother tongue that you speak. But not so many people actually get a chance to interact with the judicial system one-on-one to understand how easy, how friendly it is.
Wow. Yeah, nice one. So let me just go back to a previous point. We're talking about the bottlenecks that are facing the small claims. Mm. Technology comes to assist people, assist our systems. For example, if you're having those administrative challenges, technology comes and smoothens them. The judiciary has been one of the biggest uptake of technology. Much of the systems have been ICT has become a big factor. But again, we are here seated talking about the bottlenecks of getting out of the system. We are talking about sometimes waking up on a Monday morning and you can't even access the cost list. We are talking about, you know, all those things. And then in July, we are saying we are all of us transitioning fully. What has been your experience?
Now, actually, in terms of the CTS, it's called the court tracking system, where now you are able to have virtual court. It has really come in handy because in the past, for instance, you have a matter in Mombasa. You have to travel to Mombasa. For a matter, maybe you are told, oh, today the judge is not sitting. You see, you've wasted a whole lot of time. You've wasted money going on there only to be told we will issue with a fresh date. So currently, from the comfort of my desk, I'm able to attend court in Mombasa, in Bungoma, wherever. So that works. Where there is a problem is where you require a signature from an administrative person in the judiciary. That is where the problem is, because at the end of the day, those orders have to be signed. In fact, when you want to extract a court order, mm-hmm. So you do a draft of the order in terms of the judgment that you've gotten from the court. Now, someone has to look at that draft and see whether it's correct. Now, that is where there's a problem. Because some of these people, if you don't grease their hands, that happens. So the delay is sometimes intentional.
Yeah.
For people who are trying to create a basis for collecting bribes. Mm-hmm. But you, when you find efficient administrative officers, it actually works. There are deputy registrars who are basically the administrative officers in the judiciary. Some who are very competent, mm-hmm. some who are very efficient. Mm-hmm. And when they do their job, it works. Because I've been in courts where you are in court today, a ruling is read, then you're told, check your CTS, check your portal, and you'll get your judgment in the afternoon. So it's dependent on the particular judicial officer. So the technology works, but it only stops working where someone is delaying with an intention of getting something. So that is the major problem.
And how prevalent is that, Wafula?
Yeah, it is. It is quite prevalent. And just taking it a step further, mm-hmm. Nowadays we file our cases through the online system, the CTS system. And you find that sometimes there's a downtime.
Many times.
Sometimes. I'm just trying to be modest. So many times you'll find that you try logging on to the system, and then for about an hour you're just on your desk trying to register your own case in the CTS system. Even after you register the case, you find that you spend a lot of time just getting a receipt for you to pay. And even after you get your receipt, even getting the platform for you to pay, because when you file a case, you have to actually pay for the court filing fees. You can actually spend a day or two trying to file a case. And I don't know, probably it's because of the traffic, because this system was previously restricted to courts in Nairobi.
Okay.
But now it has been expanded. I know Kisumu has gone live. I know Mombasa has gone live. And so there's increased traffic with the system, and it somehow kind of overloads the system.
Okay.
Recently, the judiciary also introduced their cost list, and that that was a disaster. I remember last Thursday, I had a court, a hearing, which I did not know which court that matter was in, or this particular judge, and I had to go through the system, the CTS system. The Kenya law was not working. We could not even get into the system to begin with. Mm. So my colleague and I, you know, had a chat on WhatsApp and decided to just take it out, the matter out, you know, by mutual consent. Luckily, when the judge, whoever got into that court, told the court that, you know, the system is not working, so just give these guys any other dates. Yes.
So July is not happening. Your words. Those are your words. You are not a fool, I said, and both. I'm like, But anyway, listen up. Let's take a short break because Dave Isayaga is here. We need to get to the news with Stanbic Bank. And yeah, your views. What is it that you're going through right now? Did you get your judgment and have you been paid your money? Did you get your dues? As William Shakespeare says, did you get your pound of flesh? Let us know, 0701-984-984, hashtag Legal Insider, hashtag Quick One, Wakili. Yeah, exactly. 4 minutes past 7 o'clock right here on Capital FM. Good evening. How are you doing? It's a Legal Insider. Yes, we're back from the news. And of course, I've got Wakili here, Wengi Sana. And Bob is here, Wafula is here, Mutua is here. And we're talking about litigation. Mutua.
Yeah. So now that we all know some of the challenges, we all know where to go to court when you want to file these matters, It's only fair that we take the people, our listeners, through this process.
Yeah.
Now, when I want to start filing for my matter, when I want to, it's a claim I want to lay. How do I begin the process? Any of you gentlemen can take it.
Okay. Normally, for me, I have a way of going about matters because, just like you mentioned earlier on, not everybody wants to go to court for whatever reason. So the first thing is normally to try and reach out to the other side. And this mostly we do by way of a demand. So when you talk about a demand letter, it's just a letter saying, look, for instance, you owe, can you pay up within a set number of days? So sometimes there are people who will reach back to you and tell you, we can pay, we just need more time. But there are those who will not even bother to respond to your demand.
Are they the majority?
Yes, they are the majority.
Because you mentioned it again. I'm like, hey, Bob, what have you gone through?
Yes, they are the majority.
Yeah.
They don't respond. But on that, I would like to advise it's important to respond to a demand. But before you respond to a demand, always try to engage a professional, an advocate. Because sometimes you might end up admitting what you did not intend to admit. So it's important that you take advice sometimes on how to respond to some of those demand letters, but always respond, because normally it is normally used against you when you go to court. So you do a demand letter. Normally you give them between 7 to 14 days. It is not cast in stone. If they don't respond, the next step is to file a case in court. So I don't know whether I should go into the title of the document or...
you can just... They're very important, by the way.
So the document that you... There are different documents that you use to initiate matters in court. So there's a common document. It's called a plaint.
Plaint?
Yes, it's a plaint.
That's plaint?
Plaint, yes.
Okay.
That's where you get the name plaintiff from, mostly.
Okay,
so yes. So when you talk about a plaint, it is just a formal document that summarizes your case and what you want from court. So basically, it will contain the name of the parties to that particular dispute. It will state where they stay, for instance, which is very important because you can't have a matter here in Nairobi and then you go and sue, for instance, in Mombasa. So it's very important that you indicate that the plaintiff stays here in Nairobi. The defendant also stays here in Nairobi because it determines which court you go to. Now, I skipped a process. You also have to ascertain which court are you going to go to in terms of the value of what you're taking to court. I mentioned earlier that if it's a claim above 20 million, of course you end up
in the High Court.
In the High Court. So if it is 20 million or above and you go to the lower court or the subordinate court, you will be sent away because they don't have the powers to handle a matter of that monetary value. So it's important to know which court you're going to. I'd also talked about the divisions. So if it is a land matter, make sure you file it in the Environment and Land Court. If it is an employment matter, you go to Employment and Labor Relations Court. So that is very, very important. So once you file your plaint, the other side is normally served with what we call summons. So summons basically tell you there's a case here, you need to respond, and normally you respond within 15 days. So you respond, you enter appearance. We call it entering appearance. Basically it's saying, I am here, I am ready to defend myself. So after you say that, you put your defense to the plaint. And then, and all your documents and your witness statements, and then normally there is what we call a pretrial. So it's a trial before the trial. Basically, we look at whether your documents are in order. So once it is ascertained, have you filed everything you need to file? Have you properly paginated your documents? Is everything in order? Then you're given the clear for a hearing. So after that, you'll be told, come back to court on this day for hearing. And nowadays, you can proceed virtually, basically from the comfort of your chair, your desk, or you can choose to go to court physically. Now, what helps you make that choice is you look at your documents. If you feel they are too bulky and you need a physical attendance in court, then you ask for it. You are allowed. Because now, you know, it's very difficult to do a virtual hearing where you have over 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
So you really have to be very cautious about that. And for us, he will tell, Wafula will tell you, also you look at the judge you are appearing before.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to know which judge are you appearing before.
Why is that? I didn't know that.
That is very important.
Very, very important.
Because, you know, different judges have different ways of going about things.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain judges who are strict. There are those who are less strict. So there are judges who, if you don't do a certain thing the way they want, it might cost your client. That's why it's very important to know which judge you're appearing before. In fact, it's advisable. If it's a judge you've never been before, just try attending a few sessions in his court,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't let down your client, so that you know this is how they do things. Because you can end up there and you're surprised. I have seen a matter just recently, late last year, I appeared before this judge. And, you know, like normally you are required to file the original document. When you come for hearing, you are supposed to produce the original, not the photocopy. So the document in issue was a Gazette notice. So this guy is busy cross-examining, and then the judge looks and says, I can see a photocopy of the Gazette notice. Where's the original? And then, you know, this is a senior advocate. He starts stammering over there. And the judge is, I'll give you two choices. You produce the original now, or you stand down your witness. You know, by then it's very embarrassing.
Yeah, but
it's very, very embarrassing. So that's why it's very important to know a judge. There are those who would allow, would say, it's okay, it's not contested by the other side.
Yeah.
But there are those who will say, no, it has to be the original. So I was talking about the hearing. You get through the hearing. After the hearing, now you normally do what we call submissions. So submissions is just a summary of your case together with decided cases in support of your case.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come for your judgment. Then I think the rest I'll leave for Wafula.
Okay, but Wafula, before we go into that one, because you talked about documentation, you've done all these things and everything is ready. And then you told on a certain date, that's when now we are going to meet in court. And somewhere in between, Mutua calls me and tells me your documents have disappeared. Have you had a situation like that?
Yes.
Documents just go.
Yes, yes.
Please, so don't mention names. Don't mention Mutua, okay? Mm.
it is a common occurrence.
It is common?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It may be, it may be intentional. Yeah. It may just be, you know, by mistake. Sometimes you'll find that, especially for these bulky documents in court, they are put in a separate registry.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the court clerk is taking the files to the judge, they omit to take one or two. That will be the accidental type of omitting documents.
Uh-huh.
However, sometimes you'll file your case and then somebody...
A wise man.
decides probably your documents were not all that good and takes them out of the registry. And so when you get to the court, it's always advisable, carry a copy or an extra copy, so that even if the court says, I don't have your documents, you can say, thank you, but I have an extra copy, so we can proceed. Because if the court does not have that document, you cannot proceed with your case.
Yeah, because hey, due diligence, eh?
Yes.
On that aspect, and like what Bob says, the judge will be at a kombia mambo mawili.
Yes.
Do that, or you stand down, yes. And you spend so much money and resources and all that. So what happens in a situation like that when you ask, but the judge tells you those two things? What goes through your mind as a lawyer, Wafula?
I mean, you have to really think on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, depending on the materiality of the document, mm-hmm. or how important is it to your case, because some documents are very, very important. In a land case, if you are claiming that you're the owner of a land and you do not have a copy of the title or the original, and the judge asks you, do you... But Mambo ni mawili. Hapo, to be honest, you are out of choices. You just have to stand down your witness, explain to them how you cannot proceed with the case, because if you proceed with that case without that document, then your case will be thrown out at the first instance.
Yes.
Mm. So Charlie.
Well, yes, Mutu.
I want him to finish up the process, because there's a follow-up there's a follow-up question to that.
Okay.
Yeah. Just finish up from where Bobby had left.
Absolutely. So after you have filed your submissions, sometimes some courts will ask the parties and their advocates, do you want to highlight your written arguments on the case? Basically, come before a judge or a magistrate and tell him, these are the highlights of this case. This is why you should rule in my favor. Oh. You'll be given a date, and then you appear on that particular date. It may be virtual, it may be physical. You do your submissions, and then the court will give you a judgment date, right? On that particular day of the judgment, the court will say, I have looked at your documents, I've looked at your claim, I've also considered your arguments. I find in favor of Charles as against Mutuku mm-hmm. for about 5 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that marks the end of the trial. But now starts another process for execution. Execution.
Oh, man.
And unfortunately, coming from a British system,
yeah.
it is not all that simple. And right. this is where probably most people are advised to take advice of counsel whenever you're going to court. Because that process is best managed by a professional who is an advocate. So sometimes if it's a money judgment, you can actually write a demand and say, look, pursuant to the judgment of the court, mm-hmm. please pay me this. If they don't, then you go to the process of execution. You extract the decree, you get the fruits of your judgment, get an auctioneer, and if the auctioneer finds this guy...
Not when.
Very key. Yeah. Very key. No wonder Bob said that yeah. it's always best practice for you to find out, even if I get this judgment, is Charles able to pay me my 5 million shillings? Mm. Does he have a car? Can I attach his home? Can I get, you know, does he have a bank account somewhere where he has some money
mm-hmm.
which I can get, right? So the auctioneer will deal with that information, get the, you know, the amount of money that probably Charles owes Mutuku, and then that will mark the end of the case. Sometimes you get partial satisfaction of the judgment.
Okay.
So a claim of a judgment of 5 million, you're paid 2 million. Then as a client, you have to make a decision. Do you go full throttle or will you be satisfied
okay.
with the little you have?
As full a good throttle.
As a good Bible says,
yeah.
you know, utosheleke na ulicho nacho.
Okay, yes. That means I have to sit with Mutua and tell him, bro, this is what I can afford. I can't go beyond that.
Yes.
And then he will decide yes or no. No. Take your time, but you're paying me the rest of my money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Sometimes some cases are a bit personal, so some clients will insist, please, get the last, up to the last penny. Squeeze this man until he gets me my 5 million up to the last cent.
A pound of flesh.
Pound of flesh, yes. Yeah.
So you'll see sometimes somebody has pursuant to a judgment, your assets are gone, your personal liberty is at stake, and that's where you see, you know, parents and relatives coming in just to try and save the situation.
Yeah. So also, that has been a lengthy process, right,
yeah,
gentlemen?
Yeah.
From the time the demand letter is done to the time you're executing, yes. right? I think our listeners have an idea of how the process goes. Now, there's been the biggest criticism that it's lawyers who delay cases. right? I think all of us have had that story.
Yes.
This lawyer is delaying my case. He's trying to defeat justice. Can you just clarify, because we have an audience that is listening to us. Where do you see it on that side of the spectrum? Where do lawyers sit? Not you guys. Where do lawyers sit on that side of the spectrum?
When you said that, I thought about money. I need to go to court. Can you sell me some money? Where to, Matu?
So, Mutua, just to respond to your question, it depends on which party you are representing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes your client needs time to pay. He's not refusing to pay. He's saying, just give me time. So as an advocate, I will not give you an answer. What do you do when your client tells you? I owe this person. Yeah. I admit, but a bit more time. A bit more time. So if I'm defending him, of course, it would not be in his interest to expedite the matter. But if I am on the other side, I quickly want the money. Yes, so yes. I'll be accusing Wafula, saying, Wafula, you are delaying this matter. Each and every time we go to court, you are sick. You are seeking an adjournment.
Tailor-made solutions.
So it's, you know, for me, litigation is all about strategy. What does your client want at the end of the day? Because your client is your boss. So if he tells you he needs more time, clearly you can't act contrary to his instructions. Mm-hmm. But if he also comes and says, I want you to move this matter as quickly as possible, then that's what you do. Because I know of a matter that I've been doing since 2017. So we are in court. We get the judgment in 2020. Again, interestingly enough, this guy doesn't put in a defense. So as a way of delaying time, after you get your judgment, they say, wait a minute, I was not served with the papers. Can we start the process afresh? You take it all the way back.
Wow.
You have to fight that. And most of the time, the court will sympathize because, you know, you have the right to be heard, the right to represent your case. So you'll be fine. Like, let's say 30,000, what we call throwaway costs. And then you'll be told, put your defense within 14 days. So you have no option but to start it all over again. So it's just a tactic of wasting time, but within the books, within the law.
But is there a situation where I'm like, no, you're taking too much time, Bob. Me, I'm going to Wafula.
You know,
and I just go to him and say, this guy is delaying. Can we work together, Wafula? Have you had a situation like that? Because I know people who've been really frustrated by lawyers.
No, it depends.
Not all of them.
You know what happens? It's important to be candid with your client. So you need to explain to your client from the word go, this is not going to be a quick process.
Thank you.
That is so important, so that they walk with you that journey. So you take it all back. This guy doesn't put his defense on the day to put his defense. This particular case, he is given like 3 opportunities. He doesn't put his defense. So eventually I am before the magistrate, and of course, clearly I'm now very frustrated because this was money meant to help needy children somewhere. And the sponsors are busy saying, we are not funding you until you follow up that money and get that money. So I am under pressure. So I tell the magistrate, you've been very nice to these people. And, you know, you really have to be humble with them because the wrong word, the wrong tone.
For real, Wafula.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Have we seen come across a situation like that?
Yes. And from experience, I know sometimes you have to read the mood of the judge. If probably you're on the wrong, it would be best for you to be meek, humble, and very persuasive. You know, just so that you play to the emotions of the judge, so that they can give you any, you know, indulgence that you may require. Sometimes when probably you know the other side is on the wrong, that's when you hammer the table. Yes, you tell the judge, you see, these are the number of times you have indulged this person. He has come with all sorts of stories. Why is it that you're giving him an opportunity? My client also wants this matter to be determined at the earliest. Please, do not give them any more opportunities. As a matter of fact, end this case now.
Wow.
So, now that is out of the way, there's also another elephant in the room.
Yes.
It's called costs.
Yes.
If you want Oru Achilles to smile, just say
absolutely.
Fees.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. And I'm giving you guys a carte blanche on this.
Yeah. Yes.
I just put a pro uh, put across your point on costs and how maybe the court looks at it. You can also even touch on how advocates get their cut out of the money, how it's done. Are you looking at AR? Oh, no, that's English. You guys are going to clarify on that. Right. Yeah, any of you guys can go
far. Okay. I mean, sometimes, or the basic rule is that the cost will be determined by the subject matter, or what is it that you are litigating over. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is a land worth about 200 million shillings, right? The law prescribes limits or scales of how costs will be computed, right? It says maybe between 1 million, 20 million, you're entitled to 500,000, right? And so forth. So the value of what you're litigating actually determines the cost that you'll be awarded at the end of the case. And then also these other matters, you know, like you spend 70,000 shillings to file this case. And because you have won, then the court tells you, we are refunding you that fund, that amount of money you spent, but it will be paid from the other party. So that forms part of your judgment. Your lawyer has come to court for many times, right? The law prescribes a certain amount of money, depending on the time that the lawyer spent in court, you know, as part of compensation. So all that will be added to the final judgment that you get. Mm-hmm. So if you are claiming 20 million from Charles, you may get 20 million plus interest from the date that you filed the case, plus your costs. Now costs are what I was telling you, you know, the value of the subject matter, how much money you have spent, how many appearances you have done, what, you know, activities you have done, correspondence you have exchanged with the other party.
How big your document is.
How big.
So the bigger the better.
I was going to comment on some, but...
Yes, yes. And also remuneration of advocates. It's very important. We best think when you're best remunerated.
Absolutely.
Yes.
One of my mentors said, you pay... peanuts, you get monkeys.
Yes. Okay.
And that, yeah. And that has stood the test of time.
Wow.
Yes. So pay your lawyer as well.
Yeah. Wow.
Kerry, have you heard that statement? Pay your lawyers
very well.
Not very. Yeah. Extremely well.
Extremely well.
Yes. Wow. Pay them; they'll think better.
Amazing.
Yes.
Any of you wakilis going through really complex a complex court case that actually really took the toll out of you? Any of you can?
Wow, quite a number.
there are times we've...
Because there's somebody seated somewhere and they're like, hey, now this situation, okay, these guys help me, you know.
There are times when you've literally slept in the office.
Okay.
Yes, just imagine you have, like, you know, like the documents normally, especially in the Court of Appeal, 500 pages. So you have like 10 volumes of that. You have to go through each and every of these documents because you don't know what is important and what is not important. And the last thing you want to do is to appear before a judge. You ask, can you go to this page? Can you? And you haven't even seen that document. So in litigation, preparation is very important. Mm. Your case is as good as your preparation for that matter.
Like that.
And something important, doesn't matter how small the case is, the time, the effort needs to be the same because it might not be important to you as an advocate, but to the client, it is very, very important. So it's important you spend as much time as you'd spend on the other matter because, you know, what we charge for is our professional time. That's what we charge for, by the way. So basically, you know, someone will come to you and tell you, my matter is only for 100,000 shillings. Why are you charging me 30,000 shillings and all that? It's the time spent. If I am spending 2 hours here in your matter, it's the same 2 hours I'd spend in another big matter and all that. But yeah, there are cases which totally just exhaust you mentally. By the time you're done with it, you just want to go on vacation somewhere and just relax.
Yeah.
And you know, it depends on the counsel on the other side because there are advocates who are very litigious. They like going to court. They don't agree to lose. They refuse to die. They're like cockroaches. You cut off their head, they still come back. Yes. Yes. So cases can be very exhausting. It can be very mentally taxing. Mm. And sometimes even as a person, it can affect you depending on how much you emotionally get involved with it. They can be very tiring.
But if you pay us well,
we will not complain.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, gentlemen, we have 2 minutes. Maybe, Butua, you'd like to ask the question?
We have 2 minutes. I don't know if they're able to finish that in. Court is not the only place where you go for litigation,
okay,
right? Maybe you could give people maybe other avenues of where people can file their matters that is not court. Any of you guys, Wafula, right, you can take this because...
Okay. So there are different avenues where you can, resolve your disputes. One of them is arbitration, where a person is appointed as an arbitrator between the parties, and the decision of that arbitrator is binding on the parties. Another avenue is through mediation. It could be parties engaged or court-involved mediation. And the court-involved mediation is I have seen very good fruits from it. From experience, I've had about 5 matters where parties have been called to a room before a person who is there to help you merge your issues, come to an understanding, which is not a decision made by the mediator, but by a consent of the two parties. And they have arrived at a decision. Another avenue is probably...
What about
negotiation?
Yes, negotiation. Sorry, it skipped my memory. Negotiations, where, as an advocate, you engage the parties in a room, and then you make them understand each other's position and make them arrive at a decision that everybody will be comfortable to live with.
Okay.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Charlie, maybe just before you leave, there's this keep Kenyans hearing about a tribunal, this tribunal for cooperatives.
Excellent, yeah.
What are those?
Those are alternate modes of dispute resolution.
Wow, nice.
Where instead of going to court, certain disputes are referred to certain specialized sort of semi-court systems. So if my neighbor today decides to put up a petrol station next door, then I can go to the National Environment Tribunal and stop that.
Okay.
If I'm an athlete and I have a problem with my club, then I can go to the sports tribunal, right? If probably my landlord decides one day to increase the rent, then I go to the rent restriction tribunal.
There's a rent restriction tribunal.
Yes. That is very crucial.
Let me write it down. Very important to him. Tell him about the tax tribunal also.
Yes, and the tax tribunal. The tax tribunal is where if probably our very good colleagues from the Kenya Revenue Authority decides that Charles, you have not been filing your taxes, you have a 40 million tax arrears, then you can go to the Tax Appeals Tribunal just to have that demand from KRA set aside or reviewed or in any way revised.
Or even political incorrect.
Yes. Wow. Gentlemen, I have learned so much today. I'm in school every Thursday with you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming through. But very quickly, this one is what we do every Thursday. You know, someone has listened to Wafula. They want to get in touch with you. Give them your socials. How can they get in touch with you?
All right. So
you'll get paid very well because they'll call.
So my handles,
yes,
both on Twitter and Instagram, are at Paul Sauna. I'm not on Facebook. Yes, but I can also, I have a professional email, which I advise most people to use. Yes, it's pwafula@walkercontours.com.
Okay, pwafula@walkercontours.com.
So for me, it's very simple. Yes. Just search Murgor and Murgor. There's a very beautiful website there. You will find my name and our details in there. On Twitter, it's just Bob Javan, as simple as that.
All right, fantastic. And of course, Mutua, as usual, every Thursday we have, people already know you're famous. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you so
Charles.
Much, Bob. This conversation has to go on. I mean, it's been really, really fun.
Yeah, it's been fun.
It's been fun. So
fantastic.
So Paul, Bob, you guys are welcome here again. I'll talk to my lawyer here. He'll give you a call. And you come back again. I know we can talk about so many other things, but this one has been interesting. But the one thing I'd like to engage with you, with your permission, Wakili, is criminal law. Because I mean, we touched it in the boardroom, Kidogo, and I was one should be interesting, just listening to their stories.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you so much, gentlemen. This conversation continues, 0701-984-984, hashtag quick one, Wakili, hashtag legal insider. Every Thursday, we'll be back next week on Thursday. Right now, it's The Hype with Wanjira Long Hour.